to Eagles Way Church. This is our fourth 50-year celebration. My dad started the church in April of 1964, and can't believe 50 years has come and almost gone that quickly. Makes some of y'all old. And I was just I was 3 months old when it started, because I don't remember it. But I commend you often, and I just want to continue to commend you. This is the greatest church I know. I love you. I was telling Delbert last night that one thing that's neat about ministry is when you can honestly say, and I can, that I feel absolutely at no time, anytime, any resistance whatsoever. That it's just, you're like a sponge that just soaks up what's happening, what's going on. So I want you to stand, and I've kind of recognized some people over the time, but I want to recognize somebody this morning that's really, really special. Her name's Mary. And Mary is the oldest member. Mary is just a little bitty girl, about 4 or 5 years old, and she lived down the street from where the church was located, and she was one of the first people to ever join Eagles Way Church, and she's just been a trooper all these years. And if you're ever out too often, you may get a phone call. How many has ever gotten a phone call from Mary because you was out of church for a few weeks? Yep. She's my hound from heaven. She will come after you. So just keep that in mind. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the time that we can just come and worship you and celebrate you. And I thank you, God, for this church. I thank you for every person. And I bless them, Lord, with heavenly blessings. And Lord, that we just thank you. We want to love you. We want to worship you and honor you today. In Christ's name, and everybody said,
amen. Let's worship.
Well, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Bye.
sleep so well.
Is there in the newborn cry? There in the light of every sunrise, there in the shadows of this life, your great grace. It's there on the mountain top, there in the everyday and the mundane, sorrow and the dancing, your great grace, oh such grace. From the creation to the cross, there from the cross into eternity, your grace finds me. Yes, your
for your grace, So thankful, Father, for the majesty of who you are. And Father, how such an overwhelming God pursues us so relentlessly. And we stand in awe and we stand in wonder and we worship you. And we thank you, Lord. In the stars in the night, I wonder at your lightning in the sky, I shudder. Your glory is a blanket that covers every living thing. I'm in awe at the majesty of who you are. Love is a seal burnt inside my heart. And all of the day I want to be where you are, Holy Father. Thank you, Jesus. You were so good. You were so good, God. As I was listening to this next song this morning, it as well, there's a part that says, through it all, my eyes are on you. And that is one of the most remarkable things I've watched in this ministry here in this house as we celebrate 50 years, that through it all, my eyes are on you. And that our eyes have been on him. And not only has he been faithful and good, but he has just been poured out more blessings, I think, than we could have ever imagined. And so as we sing this and you think, through it all, our eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Because he is always our focus. You don't look at when the waves get crazy and the seas get harsh, but you keep your eye on him. Amen. Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sounds of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. But through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Thank you. Father, that you prove yourself over and over and over again. And far be it from us, God, to not believe that you can move any mountain, that you can get us through anything. And we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm sure every person here can relate some times to that song. Were not for His grace, we couldn't get through what we go through. But it is well. Amen. Gonna have a dedicated baby now, so if the parents and whomever else are gonna join and be coming, Kendall Lee Threadgill. All the years of ministry, this is my favorite things to do. Wow. I'm glad you're here. Scripture says that I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go into heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. Even darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day, and darkness and light are the same. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born, and every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, you're still with me. So, Kendallin, christen you in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we lift you up to the Lord. And sometimes I can find names and what they really mean. I couldn't really find what your name means. So when I can't find what your name means, I give you a name. And so Kendall Lee is Royal Princess. And we commit you to the Lord today and dedicate you to Him, and that you will serve Him all the days of your life. We bless you in Christ's name. Amen. Now, grandparents and pastors get to do, we give them back to you. God bless you. Thank you for being here. All right. And she almost made it through. I think she looked at Dusty and started crying. She saw a mother and didn't know she was going to be yelled at or not. You know, grandparents don't do that stuff. It's just the others. Well, got a special guest here today. Let me introduce him before he comes up. About 35 years ago, a tornado came into my house, and his name was Delbert. And Billy Shara, which was a good friend of ours, they coached some ball together, and Billy had gotten saved, and he was coming to the church, and he introduced me to Delbert and Judy, and Delbert actually rededicated his life in my office at my home, and it was a thrill, and he was here with us for how many years? Five, six, seven, 8 years? Eight, and He was one of the ones that was sent out from Eagles Way Church. Back then it was New Life. And he went to Lafayette, Georgia. And next year will be 30 years that he's pastored in Lafayette. You can clap on that. That's pretty awesome. 30 years. And he's been a close friend of mine. This is the one we'll go fishing with. That's the one. Stories you've heard, that's the dude. All the good, the bad, and the ugly. But Delbert, God bless you as you come speak.
Okay. I am Delbert. I wanted to take time to tell you the truth about those fishing stories, but I don't have time, so I'll let you believe what you want. I am Delbert. You can call me Delbra or Debble. That's what E.D. called me, Big Daddy, and that was perfectly fine. I'm going to be talking a lot about him. But I want you to know what an honor it is for me to get to be here with you today. It's always an honor to get to come to Eagles Way Church and share, but to be here for the 50th and then to be able to culminate, it is a double honor and a very humbling experience, and I really want to do well. So help me. help me do well. We still consider Eagles Way our home church, even though it wasn't Eagles Way when we began coming back in 1978. It was 36 years ago. Back then, it was New Life Christian Assemblies of God. Now, you might not know that you're a part of an Assemblies or Pentecostal background, but that you are. And it was New Life Christian Assemblies of God, and we came then, and it's still our home church, and Pastor Buren and Barbara are still, we see them as our pastors. They're our pastors. They're not only our pastors, but they're our best friends. And our friendship has evolved over the years. And as you know, friendships, when you begin a friendship, it's sometimes confining and demanding and controlling. And we went through all of those things, we did. But now we have a very biblical, I think, friendship. And the friendship that we have today is a friendship that sticks, right? And that's a biblical definition of a friendship. And let me read that to you because it's tying in with what I want to say. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, would you put that up for me, please? There we go. In Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin. You got to be careful with your friends and your friendships and also your relationships in church, because they'll bring you to ruin. But there is a friend that what? Who sticks closer than a brother. That's the way a friendship is really supposed to work. Now, what I want to do is, if you would go back to the first slide there with my title, the personality. This is what I'm supposed to be talking about, is the personality of a church, and specifically Eagles Way Church. But here's my co-title. It's Once a Friend, Always a Friend. And what I want to say is, once you're a friend of Eagles Way Church, you're always a friend of Eagles Way Church. It's a part of the personality of this amazing, amazing church. And Barbara and Buren have been friends to us that have stuck closer than a brother. And I mentioned E.D. I mentioned Big Daddy. He was Big Daddy to me. Big Mama, Buren's mom, referenced him as Drewy. She's the only person ever heard call him Drewy. I think it's because it was his name, but it was Drewy. But he was Big Daddy to me. He was Big Daddy to my family, and he was a very majestic person to me. He was tall. He had this gray hair that looked so nice. He was about 6'2" or 6'3", tall, and he to me was just Big Daddy. And he was 8 feet tall to me. He so influenced and impacted my life. There's a picture of Big Daddy and Buren and myself doing something in my office, so I see that picture nearly every day, and I think about him. And I couldn't come and prepare and share and talk to you about what I want to talk about without talking about Big Daddy and how he impacted my life. Because if there had been no Big Daddy, there would have been, of course, no Eddie, and there would have been no Buren, there would have been no Dusty. But beyond that, there would have been no Full Gospel Temple. Now, that's your original name. there would have been no Eagles, no, excuse me, there would have been no New Life Christian Assemblies of God. There would have been no New Life Church. And there would have been no Eagles Way Church. But beyond that, there would have been no Lifegate Church, where I've been able to do something pretty important in the kingdom of God. There would have been nothing working like that. There would have been no ministry that's gone on in India like you guys have done. Had there not been a E.D. Goss, a Big Daddy Goss. No, there would have been nothing going on in Haiti. There would have been nothing that's gone on in the Dominican Republic. There are the outreach that you guys do here in your local area and so many other things. So many other things that have expanded and amplified the kingdom of God. Had there been no Big Daddy Goss. The reason I'm saying that is because he is the original addition. He's the beginning of the thing. And I don't know if you know the history of it. I want to run through it just a little bit. In 1964, as Pastor just said just a minute ago, in 1964, E.D., Big Daddy, and Callie Mae, Big Mama, and you and Clarice Anglin got together, and they wanted more of God. That was the whole intent of it, was more of God. They wanted to see there was more out there that they knew was there. And them, along with seven others, formed a church, and they called it Full Gospel Temple. It was on Chapel Street in Griffin. Then they moved to purchase some property out on High Falls Road and moved out there and built a building. And Pastor Buren began pastoring in 1976. He became the senior pastor. And he changed the name. From Full Gospel Temple to New Life Christian Assembly of God, and affiliated with the Assemblies of God. Well, then, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more later, but in 1986, this amazing thing happened where three bodies and three churches came together, and the name was changed again for the third time to just New Life Church. Got away from the assembly thing. All right, and then in 1993, with all the things that were happening and being more relevant to the community, the name was changed to Eagles Way Church, which you are now. Now, what I'm saying here, what I want you to see, is nothing has ever stopped this church from changing. Nothing, not even the name. There, nothing stops it from changing. There's no telling who you guys are going to be next year or in 5 years from now. But nothing stops this church, and that's so much of the temperament and the personality of this church. Nothing will ever stop this church from finding the next thing God wants to do here. And initial addition, the original addition of this church, because it's wanting more and more and more of God. Now, in preparation for what I wanted to talk to you about, I went back and listened to the three previous services that you've had concerning the 50th. And of course, Mike Oliver was here back in March, and what Mike just talked about was the 50-year celebration that you're going through now. And Mike said some things, and I just want to pull some of the things that Mike said into what I want to talk about. Mike talked about the amazing time in 85, 86, and 87 where three different churches, three different bodies of Christ came together and made one body of Christ. There was the New Life Christian Assemblies of God. There was Evangel Assemblies of God that met on this property, but up in the other building. And then there was Integrity Christian Fellowship. These three bodies came together. And Pastor Buren, of course, was leading New Life, and Evangel didn't really have a position pastor, but Integrity was led by John Holloway. Now, I just want to take a moment and mention John. John was an amazing man. If you missed John Holloway, John passed away February this year on the 22nd. And if you missed knowing John, you missed an important person, a great person. He was extremely intelligent, extremely knowledgeable about the scriptures, and an excellent Bible teacher. And many of us came into what was then called life enrichment through the ministry of John Holloway. And it's a counseling situation where you sit down and you just go through your own soul and your own heart and you begin to look at yourself and make sure you've moved into forgiveness and make sure that you've forgiven yourself and look at your own addictions and look at your own bondages and things that have held. And it was sort of the foundation of what you do here now with your counseling ministry that you have. It came from that. And John is such an aspect of the personality and the temperament of this church. And I don't know of anybody who could cackle laugh louder than me except John Holloway. John had this amazing laugh that just filled the room. And he's laughing, I'm promising you. He's laughing now in glory. And he's probably laughing right now at me. But he is laughing. John was an amazing aspect. And you just can't talk about Eagles Way Church and not talk about John Holloway, because he is in the personality, he's in the temperament of Eagles Way Church. And Mike went on and talking about how Pastor Buren has always was looking for the next step in what God was doing. And he said this, and he said, there is never a period, there's only commas. Never a period, only commas. And he began to give you some of the commas that he'd been through and experienced, okay? But he didn't give them all. And I want to give some more of the commas, because I had some commas that Mike didn't have. I came in 1978. And that's 36 years ago. And 36 years ago, church wasn't like this. Well, 36 years ago, all you could sing out of or was supposed to sing out of was a hymnal. That was it. But we didn't do that. We sang out of the hymnals. We had hymnals on the back of the pews. But we sang a lot of choruses. And that was of the devil. You had to sing out of that hymnal. And not only did we sing out of sing choruses, but we had drums in the sanctuary. Now that had to be of the devil, right? I mean, and also we had guitars. Marshall would thump his bass guitar every week, and Barbara would play the piano. And we'd sing choruses. Yeah. And that we heard that was the devil. But it was just a comma. Look what you got now. I mean, good gracious alive. See, it was just a comma. But not only that, we had screens in the sanctuary. You can't have screens. Not in 1978. You weren't supposed to have screens in the sanctuary. That's the devil. But it was just a comma. And you remember the satellite dish that we had? The first church that I know of there, I think it's here now, right? It's on the. But anyway, I think, didn't you move it? You didn't? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But anyway, but we had the satellite dish, and we were pumping in Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin and Jerry Savelle and Marilyn Hickey, and we were bringing them in, you know, like that, because it was a comma. We knew we didn't have it all, and we wanted more of God, which is the original addition of what equals. It's always a comma. So we had the satellite going on, and then of course John with the life enrichment teaching was another comma that was added to that, and then here we met this guy named Randy Adler. You remember Randy Adler? The guy from California. Looked like California. Randy Adler. And he introduced us to personal prophecy. And we always believed in the gifts of the Spirit. We always believed in the fullness of God. Full gospel. That's what it was, the base of this thing. So we always believed in that. But Randy made it personal. And he taught us about prophecy. And he laid hands on many of us in this room and gave us a personal prophecy which has so directed our lives. It was so accurate and so true. So we moved into that. But it was only a comma. After that, there was the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God. No, that had to be of the devil. I mean, that changed our theology and everything. When we began to really look at the kingdom of God, we found out that we can experience the kingdom of God right now. We don't have to wait for a great tribulation. We don't even have to wait for a rapture. We can have it. We can experience it right now. So that was a big one there. That was of the devil for sure. And then, but that was just a comma. It was just a comma. Because then this guy named Wayne Williams shows up. And remember Wayne Williams? We were all down here laying in the floor, rolling around laughing. The Joy of the Lord movement. You know, we're all. Sometimes you're glad a comma ends and you move to the next one. I was really glad that. We moved to the next, which was really strange, because we started wearing collars, and we wore robes, and we went liturgical. I mean, just, but it was just a comma. Just a comma. Because that pendulum is swinging and that comma's coming. And the next thing we know is now we're casual. I mean, look at us, you know. We just come. Just, we try to get you any way you can. But that's, those are the commas. Now the thing that the reason I went through all of that was because Mike said there's never a period, only commas. So that's so much a part of the personality and the temperament of this church, because it goes back to the original edition, to E.D. and Callie Mae and you and Clarice wanting just more of God. You're in a place here where there's always a hunger for God. You never know what you're going to be doing next week, but I promise you it's going to be something, and it's going to be maybe the next thing that God, because Mike said this, that Eagles Way has the ability to understand the essence of the nowness of God. What is God doing now? Now, he never changes, but he's always fooling around in the churches. We're going to be looking at that later on. He's always walking in the midst of his churches, and he's always doing something. So what's he doing now? And you're in a church where they understand the nowness of God. What is he doing? So then Mike was here in March, and then Charles Simpson and Ron Gray come in May. And I was going to, Ron gave you this amazing acronym, and I was going to work that in, but I don't have time. But it was a great acronym that talked about the personality and the temperament of Eagles Way Church. But then Charles spoke. And Charles was to speak on the mission of the church, and specifically the mission of Eagles Way Church. What is the mission of Eagles Way Church? See, and I thought it was so good. Because the first thing that he did was he challenged us with, what are we going to do with the legacy of all of those who have gone before us? What are we going to do with the legacy of E.D., of Big Daddy and Big Mama and you and Clarice? But I was pondering on that as well. See, the legacy goes on. You're a part of the legacy of today. But I was thinking back when 1978, when I came into the kingdom of God. The legacy, it was Gene Shirey and Judy Shirey. It was Billy Shira and Francis Shira and those. And they were laying a legacy because they laid their lives down for that work that you're getting to experience it right now. There was the Delbert Youngs and the Judy Youngs. There was the John Holloways. There was Mike Oliver and Sherry Oliver. There was this amazing merger that come in, and the amazing people, and I started to make a list, but I knew I'd leave people out, so I did it. But the amazing people that were in evangel and that were in integrity. And Buren said last night, he said, I've always had good people around me. I've always had good leadership around me. And it was because of these people that came together and always was laying down their lives and laying down the legacy. And look at it today and the leadership that's here today. We're going to talk more about that shortly. But the leadership that's here today, laying down your lives for the legacy of Eagles Way Church. It's amazing how many people have done that here. And so this works into the very personality of it. Today you got Will laying down his life and Dusty laying down her life and all the leadership. And if I start naming names, I'm going to make somebody mad because I left you out. And I don't want to do that, because you're making a legacy here for the next generation and the next generation that's coming along. What are we going to do with it? We're going to keep it going. That's what we're going to do with it. And then he said this, there's three ways that the Christ followers, that the disciples of Jesus Christ learned the mission. And it was number one, they heard it. They heard it. It was number two, they watched it. And it was number three, they did it. Here, right here, every week, you hear the mission. Not just the mission of Eagles Way Church, but the mission of the kingdom of God. You hear it. And then you get to watch it. You watch your lives change. You watch your children's lives change. You watch your husband or your wife's lives change. You watch the lives of everybody change. You get to watch it. And then you get to do like I did. You get to go out and do it. Every single person here is equipped to go and complete the mission of Jesus Christ, the mission of the kingdom of God. Then Dwayne was here, of course, in August, and Sonny, and I don't know, 20 others, whatever, and they were here and had you all up here on the platform, and Dusty was the grapevine, she was the tree of life, and Buren was God, I think, and yeah, and y'all were tree in the wind, you were doing the, you know, the Garden of Eden, and it was amazing. Amazing message that he brought to you, but I can't repeat everything Dwayne said. We'd never, but but I want to draw a couple of things out of there because I think it's so much of the personality. Dwayne said this, and Dwayne was to talk about the restoration of the church, and specifically this church. But he spoke on after restoration, there is reinvention. Now, he said this. He said, in the reinvention of God, he never violates the original addition. The original addition is E.D. and Callie Mae. The original addition is you and Clarice. The original addition is all the legacies that come along as well. But he's never violated that hunger for God, wanting more of God, never allowing a period, always letting it be commas. That's what happens. And God never violates. So it's never going to change. You're always going to add commas. And you're never going to violate the original addition. And then he said this. He said, the only way you get to change and be re-innovated is by celebrating where you are. The only way you get to go on is by, and that's one thing I can say because I've watched it all of these years. Whatever you guys were doing here, we were doing up there. We were doing the same thing. And we always celebrated. We always celebrated wherever we were. It was the greatest. It was the best. This is where it is. Oh, man, we're having a big time. But only to find out it was only a comma. But we celebrated where we were so that we could go on to whatever God had next. That's what it was. So that's the personality and that's the temperament of Eagles Way Church. Now, when we say personality and when we say temperament, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? Well, in the book I wrote, of Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, and some of you have gone through it. Pastor Keith has taught some classes on it. I got to teach it here once. Anyway, in it, and nothing really changes your life until you, like knowing your temperament. But in it, the heart and the soul of it is an evaluation, not a test, an evaluation. You can't fail this because this is what you are. And the goal of the evaluation is to get a picture of your heart and of your soul, which is totally different from the heart and the soul of anyone else. It's to get a picture of that. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus said this. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, that's like the tabernacle of Moses when it's described to us. It's described to us from the inside out. It begins in the most holy place with the Ark of the Covenant, and it works its way out. But the way we always study it, the way we understand it better, is from the outside in. And the way we love God is better understood that way as well. The way we love God is with first our physical strength. We praise Him. We love Him. We clap. We dance. We move. We love Him with our physical strength. We carry out our purpose in life. We do this with our physical strength. We minister to people with our physical strength. And that's like a first layer that comes out. Worship and loving God is from the inside out, but we express it from the outside in. I know if you're loving God because there's a physical aspect, a physical strength that's associated with it. But then there's the mind. The mind is the most difficult part because it's at enmity with God. It doesn't understand the things of God, and it never will. So what we have to do with it is bring it into subjection, offer it as a living sacrifice so that we can understand the good and the perfect and the acceptable will of God for our lives. And then He can restore our minds and renew our minds. But then there's the soul and the heart. And there's so much confusion. What is the soul? What does that mean? What is the soul? What the soul is who you are without you thinking about it. Let me explain. What the soul is your subconscious mind, not your carnal mind, but your subconscious mind that takes care of stuff without you thinking about it. Like, for example, it's your subconscious mind that keeps your heart beating. You don't think about your heart beating. Your subconscious mind takes care of that. Your subconscious mind takes care of your eyes blinking. God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, and he became a living soul. He started eyes blinking, and his heart started beating, and his body functions took place. And this is what the soul does for us. It takes care of things without our thinking about it. And so in your temperament, it's the part of you that you really are without your thinking about it. Because if we get to think about it a lot, we'll take care of things a little differently. But it's what you are without your thinking about it. It's who you really, really are. And it is the door or the bridge into the heart. Now, nothing can get into the heart without it going first through the soul. And once it gets into the heart, now it becomes an engine. It becomes a force. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart with all diligence." Why? "For from it come the issues of life." Every issue you've ever faced in life came from your heart. Whether it was a small issue or a large issue or a good issue or a bad issue, your heart engined or drove you or took you there. It flowed out of the heart of who you really are. And the only way it got into the heart was through the soul. The soul let it in, right or wrong. And it's who you really are without your thinking about it. Now, when we're talking about temperament, we're talking about finding a picture of who we really are so that we can use our strengths better, but we can take our weaknesses and make them lesser and strengthen them and turn them into strengths in our lives, so that we won't have issues in life. Every issue we ever face. So you have a personality and you have a temperament. Every person does, because every person has a soul and every person has a heart. You are wonderfully made. You are different from anyone else that's ever walked on this planet. You know that by your fingerprint. It's unlike anybody else. Your retinal layout, your jawbone structure, your DNA. Nobody's ever existed like you. Nobody. How boring would it be if everybody was like you? Right? Well, let's use me. How boring would it be if everybody was like me? See, he's made us unique. Every one of us are so different and so special to God. You are fearfully and you are wonderfully made by God. But so is every church. Every church is different. How boring would it be if every church was the same? Every church is unique. Every church is different. Every church has its soul. Every church has its own heart. Every church has its own issues. Every church flows in a different dimension, in a different way. Every church has a personality, and every church has a temperament. I want to show you this. We're going to go to the book of Revelation here in a moment. And I want you to see something. Now, the book of Revelation is just an interesting book. But what's happening, and what I want you to see, is the Son of Man. That's how Jesus referenced himself in his way. He always called himself the Son of Man. He never called himself Jesus. He's the Son of Man. He is addressing the churches that are in Asia, seven of them. He addresses every single church differently because every single church is different. And every single church has its own issues because every single church has its own soul and heart. And we kind of know that. He uses a different amount to talk to each church. One church he says very little to, and one church he says a whole lot to. And really, the one he says a whole lot to is Laodicea, which is the worst one. So sometimes you don't want God talking to you. You know what I mean? And the one he says the least to is the best one. It's Smyrna. We're going to look at it in just a second. But he says different amounts to the churches as well. But what I really want us to see is the reason every church is different, and the reason that every church sees him differently is because he makes it that way. He expresses himself differently to every single church. Now let me show you. We're looking at the book of Revelation in chapter 2. Be on the screen. Okay. This is the church at Ephesus. This is the first one. Like I said, he speaks about 190 words to this church in NIV version. All right. Now let's read this. Revelation 2:1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write. Now let me pause here just a second and talk about the angel. All right. What is the angel of the church? Well, in scriptures, an angel was a messenger. They brought a message from God to people, and then they returned. You remember, like Jacob's ladder, that angel's going up and down, and then they go back to God with a message. They go back to God with what they with what they found. So when we're talking about the angel of a church, we're talking about the leader and leadership of a church. Because they're the ones who are responsible to engage you, the church, with God, with the Son of Man, and with heaven, and relay back to you the message from God, from heaven, back to you. So when we're talking about the angels of the church, what we're talking about is the leadership, not just one person, but a corporate people who become the leadership on the angel of the church at. So let me read it on now. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Now this is how he is expressing himself to the church at Ephesus. He's the one who's in total charge of the church. He has them in his hand. He's always moving in and out of the church, making sure that things are done, or making sure that things are taken care of. But this is how he projected himself to Ephesus. He didn't project himself like this to any of the six others. All the six others were different. Let's look at Smyrna right now. The very next one. He only said 143 words to Smyrna. Didn't need a lot of adjusting. Didn't need a lot of correction. Revelation 2:8. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write. Every church has an angel. Because every church has a personality. Because every church has issues. Because every church has a heart. Because every church has a temperament. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write. These are the words of him who is the first and the last who died and came to life again. He expressed himself totally different to this church. He's the resurrected, glorified Lord. He's the one who was dead, now is alive. This is how this church saw him. And this is how he projected himself to this church. This church had a different vision of the Christ than did Ephesus, or did any of the others. Because every church is different. Because every church has its own personality. Every church has its own temperament. Every church has its own issues. For example, in Thyatira, the issue was, you have tolerated this woman, Jezebel. And that's an issue. Now, none of the other churches had the same issue that Thyatira had. And so every church has its own personality, its own temperament, its own issues. Let's look at one more. Laodicea. Everybody hears about Laodicea. It's the one that made the Lord sick. He said, you're neither hot nor cold. You know, you're lukewarm. I'm going to spew you, actually vomit you. You make me so sick out of my mouth. And here's what he says to in 3:14, Revelation. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Totally different from any of the other churches. This is how the Lord projected himself to that church, and how that church was to perceive him. See, what I want you to see is that they all saw the identical Son of Man. But they saw him differently. They saw him from a different perspective. They had a different vision of him. And it was because that's the vision he gave them to see him. I came out of this church. He is my spiritual father. We do a lot of things alike, but we do a lot of things different. Even in our theology, we believe a lot of the same things, but every once in a while, we don't totally agree on something. Is that wrong? No, we're seeing the same Christ. We're just seeing it from a little different perspective, a little different angle. And so none of it was wrong. All of it was right. It's just, what are you going to do with it? And so this is what I wanted you to see here, that every church has its own temperament, its own personality. And the Apostle Paul did the exact same thing as he would write his epistles to the church. What he would do is he didn't write the same thing to Roman that he wrote to Corinth. Why? Because they were different, had different issues, different heart, different leadership, different angel. He didn't write the same thing to Galatia that he wrote to Ephesians, to the Ephesus. He didn't write the same thing to Philippi that he wrote to Colossae. Because why? Some of the things were similar, but for the most part, it was totally different issues and totally different things. Now, let me tie this into what we're talking about here. If the Son of Man instructed John the Apostle to write a letter to Eagles Way Church, what would it say? If Paul the Apostle wrote you an epistle, what would it say? Let me tell you. I applaud you because you never use periods. You always use commas. You always are allowing me to continue to move in your midst and walk amongst the candlestick. You're always allowing me to do new things, the nowness of God. I applaud you. I applaud you for that. That's the first thing, and the temperament. The second thing is I applaud you because you understand the legacy that has been laid down for you. And you're continuing on the legacy. You're looking onward and you're building upon the legacy that is sacrificed so that you can experience what you're experiencing and that you can become a legacy. And you do this three ways. You provide a place for it to be heard. Every week, you come to a place where it can be watched. And you go out and you do it. That's the second aspect of the temperament. Third aspect of the temperament. The Lord would say, I will continue to regenerate you and to reinvent you because I can. I will continue to reinvent you, but I will never violate the original edition. And you celebrate where you are with all of your heart. And you love celebration. He says, so I can continue to renew you and regenerate you and reinvent you. So those are the three things. You've heard those. Number four, you haven't heard. This is mine. I haven't talked about this one much. It's been mentioned a time or two. But here's where what I wanted to share. Now, we've looked at the angel thing. We know that the angel is an angel, but it's made up of the hearts and the souls of the leadership. I don't know all the hearts and the souls of all the leadership as well as I know the heart and the soul of Pastor Buren. So I'm going to kind of use him. Because if I know the heart and the soul of him, then I have a pretty good idea of the heart and the soul, the other hearts and souls that are in the angel of Eagles Way Church. And I know this. I want to look at the scripture in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Jesus was asked a question by a very intelligent man, a lawyer. And here's what it says in Matthew 22, 36. It says this, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment?" And we've all heard this. "Which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it." Would you just say that back to me, like it, on the count of three? One, two, three. Like it. One more time. One, two, three. Like it. It's so like it that sometimes you don't know which one you're doing. It's so like it that you really can't do one without doing the other. And if you're not doing one, you're really not doing the other. It's so like it. They're so attached. So like it. And here it is. Love your neighbor. Love people as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two things. You're not really doing anything if you're not doing these two. Now, like I said, the angel is somewhat corporate. I think you understand what I've tried to communicate. And I don't know all the hearts, but I know his heart. And I've watched his heart for 36 years in awe. Awe. He awes me. I have never met anyone like Buren Goss. And I'm using him because this is the heart of the angel. This is what I'm wanting you to see. I know him. I know his heart. And I've watched him. And he loves people. Now he loves God with all of his heart, with all of his mind, and with all of his soul. He loves spiritual things. He does. But he loves people in a way I have never been able to do it. I love people, but not like he loves people. I envied it. Do you ever, somebody's got something that you don't have and you want it? You know what I mean? I mean, not like a material thing, but something that they are, that you're not. And I never was able to do it the way he does it. He loves people. And once a friend of Buren Goss, you're always a friend of Buren Goss. I want to use several examples. We'll start with Ralph here in a minute, but I want to use several examples. This is a short list of the ones that I'm aware of people that he has loved. And so you've loved him because this angel has loved them. And he's loved, he's helped, he's supported, and he's restored. Start with Ralph. Years and years ago, Ralph was having a bad time in life. He was going through hell on earth. Pastor Buren went and found Ralph, saw the conditions in which he was living, said, "Ralph, I'm not going to let you live like this." He took Ralph to his house, put Ralph in his house. Ralph stayed in Buren's house. He helped Ralph, he supported Ralph, and he restored Ralph. And here Ralph is today, touching all of your lives with a positive attitude, right? And by the way, I didn't say that, but when the church was changed to Eagles Way Church, it is Eagles Way Church, a church with a positive perspective. And there's part of it right there. And then, you know, there was others. There's Sherry and Mike Oliver. I mean, guys, he told you his story back in March. They just shut it down. He didn't know what he was going to do. Pastor Buren says, "Hey, just stay in Griffin here. I'll pay you whatever they're paying you." Meaning the angel would pay them whatever they were paying. But we'll pay you whatever you're making. Just stay here and we'll see. And you saw how that turned out. He took Mike. He helped Mike. He supported Mike. And he restored Mike. I mean, those kinds of things are devastating to a ministry. And he supported Mike. And you saw the outcome of that, how all the years that Mike was able to minister, touch lives. I don't know if all of you know J.D. Glass or not. J.D. Glass had a church in Jacksonville. And it was doing great, according to J.D., but in reality, it wasn't doing that great. And J.D. hit a hard place. And Buren says, "J.D., we'll make it work. We'll take care of it." As you know, Sonny and Dwayne Swilly, he told you his story back in August. He's offered a church, going to pastor a church up north. He goes up there, sells his house, moves up there, buys a house, and the thing shuts down. Now, Dwayne kind of projected that to you like he had all that under control. No, he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where his next dime was coming from. Terry Shaw and Buren Goss call him. "Hey, come to Griffin. You can have a place to minister. We'll take care of you. We'll help you, support you, and restore you." And the epitome, the epic, sticking closer than a friend, than a brother to me. was with Leonard and Connie Zebar. Hi. That's a friend that sticks closer than a brother to the very end. You know, and I could name more. Bobby O'Neill, who passed away back August. I could mention Mike Thompson, who lost his wife, Ann. Once a friend of Buren Goss, you're always a friend with Buren Goss. But once you're a friend of Eagles Way Church, you're always a friend of Eagles Way Church. Because that's the heart and the temperament and the personality of this church. I have heard and seen people talk so bad about him and about others and about this church and all that stuff. But then they come back. Because once a friend of Eagles Way Church, you're always a friend of Eagles Way Church. So what would it be? What is the temperament? What is the personality here? Yeah, no periods. Always commas. Always. It's a place where the nowness, the essence of the nowness of God is. Number two, what is the second one? It's a place where the legacy is continued on and on and on and on. It's a place where you can come and hear it. Hear the vision and see the vision. Watch the vision happen. And you can go out and do the vision. And the third thing is a place of constantly being reinvented. With never, ever violating the original edition. And a place of celebration where you are. Number four, it's a place of restoration and liberation. I think Sonny said that. Place of restoration and liberation. I want to close with this. Charles Simpson used this scripture. He read it from Isaiah 61. I want to read it from when Jesus was reading it from Isaiah, and as Jesus initiated his ministry. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because here's how you know if the Spirit of the Lord is upon a person or upon a church. Because he hath anointed me. He's given me a special personality. He's given me a special temperament. He's given me a special ability. He's given me a special heart and a special soul. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You do that here. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I just showed you. You do that here. To preach the deliverance to the captives. Place of liberation and restoration. Captives, the bondages of sin, the addictions of life, the things that have haunted us and traveled us, that we could come here and be set free through counseling ministries and deliverance ministries and prayer. And recovering of the sight of the blind. We've all been in darkness. See, I started seeing here, as many of you have. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Place of liberty. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's the year of Jubilee. That's 50. Every 50 years was the year of Jubilee. You are in Jubilee. You are experiencing 50 years of legacy and of ministry. Your life will never, ever be the same because you have been set free from all the debts and all the bondages. This is what this church is. This is the personality and the temperament of EWC, Eagles Way Church. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Let me pray. Father, thank you for our time. Thank you for, Lord, attentive ears and a liberty to share and to say. And Lord, just thank you. But Lord, most of all, thank you for this place and the legacy that has made it what it is. Thank you for E.D. Goss. Thank you, Lord, for Callie Mae Goss. Thank you for you and for Clarice Anglin. Thank you, Lord. For the original edition. And Lord, we'll never violate it. We ask you to continue to reinvent it. And Lord, let us find the next comma. Continue to restore us and bless us. And I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
Pastor Delbert. Awesome. Awesome. Wow, to be able to sum up Eagle's Way. Do you know you were all that? I hope you do. As our ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes and offerings, Holly, are you in the house? I need Holly to come down here. She is going to share. We have a couple of announcements. I know we're going to be a little bit longer, but you're not going to want to miss the end. I promise you. So, share with us.
Good morning. Wednesday is our trunk or treat, and the kids are super, super excited about it. Some of you had some questions about what you were supposed to do with your trunks, and I think Miss Barbara's got a few pictures. You just decorate the back of your trunk. These people used an Egyptian theme, and there may be a few more in there. Camping theme. The most important thing is I just want you to come and have fun. Have fun seeing all the little trick-or-treaters come by your cars. If you can decorate a trunk, that would be awesome. If you can't, I'd still love for you to come out and just see all the kids and have fun with us. We're going to have dinner at 6 over in the youth building, so I'd love for you to come and do that. If you can decorate a trunk, let me know. I probably have about 15. I'd love to have a few more. If you can do that, see me after church. I'll be out at the info booth. Thank you.
Very good. Very good. Also, there is Thanksgiving coming up. Lots of information that is in the foyer. There's two main things that are taking place with Thanksgiving. One is our Thanksgiving meal, which is on the 19th. We need some people, individuals, to cook some turkeys for that day. It used to be that Piggly Wiggly would cook them for us, and that no longer happens, so we have to do that ourselves. And so they have to be cooked on the 19th and brought that evening warm, cut off the bone and warm. So if you're interested in doing that, you can. Also, if you're going to be here for that meal that evening, if you would sign up so we can get an idea of who all will be here. The following week is Thanksgiving, and that's when we help with the Thanksgiving meals that are done in our community. Over 1,500 meals will be hand-delivered that Thanksgiving morning. You can cook a turkey. I'm responsible for getting 15 turkeys cooked for that week. So you can sign up to do that. You can deliver meals on Thanksgiving morning. You don't even have to sign up. You can just show up and do that. I'll give you more details on that. At our Thanksgiving meal on the 19th, we are going to be taking up an offering that particular evening, and the funds from that are going to go towards helping families for Christmas. One of the biggest things that we will be doing with helping people for Christmas is the Angel Tree, which is through Prison Fellowship. In just a second. I know you guys are playing a lot, but you didn't know that we had a little bit of time. We're going to be showing a video here in just a minute that's going to show that, and it's a brief introduction of what's taking place. At the end, the part that I was telling you don't want to miss, during that, you're welcome to give to our alms and missions offering also. That is here. We're taking up our tithes and offerings now. But several things take place out of this alms box. First of all, people are touched that are in need on a daily and weekly basis from within this house. We support the soup kitchen, the food pantry, Spalding Samaritans that touch people every month in our community. Missions. India has been touched. Haiti has been touched. Costa Rica has been touched. Pastor Delbert, we're not doing a special offering for him this morning, but his life will be touched out of some of that offering. So you can come and give it at that last song, and you'll know what song it is, I promise, because you'll be free to hear it. Make sure I've covered everything. We're going to pray, and we're going to bless this offering, and then immediately we're going to show this video about Prison Fellowship. Someone will be in the foyer if you want more information about it, and next week we will give you even more information on how you can adopt a child. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come. Lord, we can receive, but we can give. Bless you in Jesus' name.
I wish. I wish I could see my dad. I wish my family could be together for Christmas.
I wish I had a dolly. A new dress. A soccer ball. I wish I could have my mom.
I wish my dad could play catch with me.
2.7 million children have a simple wish this Christmas. To feel special. To feel remembered. To feel loved by a parent who's far away. You can help. It starts with a gift. A simple present from their parent reminding them they are loved and not forgotten. And the gift of knowing the love and support of their Heavenly Father. This calls for believers to take action. So while mothers and fathers are behind bars, kids are left behind. Families torn apart. This calls for churches across America to rise up and deliver gifts to children on behalf of parents in prison. You and your church become the hands and feet of Jesus. You deliver God's love and bring hope to those who need it most. Families are restored. Children find joy. Parents experience God's grace. It starts with a gift. Since 1982, Angel Tree, with the help of thousands of churches across the country, has reached more than 9 million kids with a gift, the gospel, and a message from their incarcerated parent. These 2.7 million kids need to feel their parents love this Christmas, and they need to know Jesus loves them, starting with the ones right here in your community. It's simple. It calls believers to put their faith into action. It inspires you and your family to live out the real meaning of Christmas. You bless the child of a prisoner with a gift and the good news of Jesus Christ. Every child has a story. Every child has a wish. Every child deserves a chance. It starts with a gift. It starts with you. This Christmas, change the life of a child forever.
And you can stand and you can be coming, going to give alms. We thought about what song best captures the spirit of Eagles Way Church. And we thought about it a lot. And there's a lot of songs that do. But there's one song that really captures the spirit. And so if you'll indulge me this morning, a little Garth. This ain't coming from no prophet, just an ordinary man. When I close my eyes, I see where this world shall be when we all walk hand in hand. Cries for crust of bread when the last man dies. But just words that said, we shall shout over the glorious head. We shall be free when the last thing we know is a color of skin. And the first thing we look for is the beautiful thing in the skies and the oceans.
From our own kind of view, we shall.